Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we want to look at we'll start with verse 21, okay? So Ephesians 5, starting with verse 21. Now, remember that Ephesians 5 talks about the fact that we are to walk in love, we're to not be partakers of the wicked, evil deeds of this world. Rather, we are to reprove them. We're not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but rather we are to be filled with the Spirit. Then we saw four different areas that our lives would have continuing actions in them when we're filled with the Spirit. It's singing, it is having melody in our heart, it is thanksgiving, and then also, now verse 21 gives us the fourth thing, and it goes on into the family structure, specifically wives first. We talked about that last week. Tonight we'll talk about husbands. But let's start at verse 21, and we'll get the context here. This is the final of the four areas where we will have continuous action going on in our lives with the filling of the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, we've already prayed, so we want to get right into it. And I remind you that this last section from verse 22, really on through verse 24, we have, or I should say 22 through the end of the chapter, we have really a definition of what a Spirit-controlled couple will look like, how they will act. And last week, we talked about the wife and how the wife, if she's Spirit-filled, will submit to not every man, but submit to her husband. And that is important. It means to subordinate yourself to somebody. And she is to submit herself as unto the Lord, as if by submitting to her husband, she's submitting unto the Lord, because she is. That she is to do so because the husband is the head of the wife. We've seen that the church is subject to Christ, therefore she ought to be subject to her husband. We talked a little bit last week about why that's important. Why is it important for wives to submit themselves? Well, number one, because it is a picture of Christ in the church. That's why that's referenced so many times in here. And by the way, isn't God very interested in his pictures, his illustrations, being fulfilled in our lives as Christians or in the church? And the answer is absolutely yes. God is very interested in that. Also, we've seen that it's important that she submit to her husband because God is a God of order, and he set it up that way. He made Adam first and then Eve. Therefore, that was a sign right away from the beginning that she was supposed to submit to him. Also, it's important because that is the way God created us. God created the wife, Eve, to be a help meet for Adam, that her life would focus all around him, that her purpose would be to help him be all that God wants him to be. God created us that way so that the wife was even named after Adam. And of course, we follow that with our traditions today, don't we? By when husband and wife marry, that the wife takes his last name so that she is named after him. And then also, kind of lastly, last week, we talked about the fact that it is important because God created us this way because wives need protection. 1 Peter chapter 3 says that we are to give honor unto our wife as unto the weaker vessel. She needs protection, okay? So it's important that way. But let me give you a couple of other reasons why it is important for the wives to submit to their husbands. And we'll kind of talk about how God wanted it this way for testimony's sake. Turn with me, if you would, to Titus chapter number 2. Why is it important that the wife submit herself to her husband? Titus chapter number 2. Titus chapter 2. And let's start with verse 3 for a little bit of context. Titus 2 and verse number 3. The aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Notice verse 5. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, and notice the reason given at the end of verse 5, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You see, one of the interesting things about it is if a Christian wife does not respond right to her husband, if she's not obedient to her own husband, if she's disobedient to him, what that does is that causes the word of God to be blasphemed. That means that generally speaking now, other men look at that and they're going to say, well, what good does the word of God do? Not only that, but I believe, and we'll look at this in a little bit, that even the principalities and powers watch what goes on in our lives. And they need to see the wife submitting to the husband. It's a testimony to them. And I want to encourage you wives that you have a great opportunity to be a testimony in this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of that is certainly how you look, and that's true for men as well, that as how we look as we go out into this world has an effect on what people think of Christ. But ladies, you have a special opportunity, not only with how you look as you go out in this world, but also how you act. Now, you may think, well, in 2022, Pastor, I don't know if you've realized it or not, but, you know, wives don't submit to their husbands in 2022. And in the world today, nobody expects a wife to submit to her husband, whether saved or lost, because after all, we're in 2022. Well, I would disagree with you there, and I would say that whether we realize it or not, or whether they would admit it or not, every man knows that when he sees a wife who's submitted to her husband, who's obedient to her husband, he says, that's the way it ought to be. In his heart, in his mind, he knows that's the way it ought to be. And whether guys recognize it or not, whether they say it or not, doesn't matter. It's the way God made them. By the way, it's the desire of their heart. It is the desire of their heart that their wife would submit to them. So when wives, when you do that, you are a testimony for the Lord. So be encouraged. You have a great opportunity to have a ministry just by being a godly and submissive wife. Look with me at another passage of Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Here's another reason why it is important for wives to submit to their husbands. 1 Corinthians chapter number 11 and verse 3. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 3. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian church here under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. By the way, that's why, one of the reasons why, a couple of things, why men ought to have short hair, because we'll see that hair is a covering, okay? So men ought to have short hair. Amen. Thank you, Brother Pritchett. I appreciate that. Men ought to have short hair. Say, Pastor, what is short? It's short, all right? Right here. Follow Pastor's example, and you'll be fine. I will never be accused of having long hair, all right? As long as I keep doing what I'm doing now. You don't have to keep it as short as I do, all right? But if he prays with his head covered, it's a shame, right? But not only should his hair be short, but men, by the way, that's why we also take our caps off when we pray. Let me just put in a little plug for that. That's something that used to be a little more common. Nowadays, people forget. By the way, that's why when we come into church, we should take our cap off. Really, when you go into any building, that's kind of the old school way, right, Brother Cattells? That's the way I was taught by my dad. When you go into a building, take your cap off, especially if it's a place of any kind of honor whatsoever. Take your hat off. That's the way it should be done. I mean, in the Westerns, that's how all the good cowboys did it, right? Took their hat off. Took their boots off, right? That's the way it's supposed to be done. But listen, look at what it says beyond that. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. Verse 5. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. For that is even all one as if she were shaven. We're going to see that that's why women should have long hair. Again, let me say that again. Women should have long hair. You say, Pastor, how long is long? Longer than me. No, women should have long hair. It should be very obvious that it is woman's hair. That's what God expects. I don't think God puts a specific length on it. But I think what we're seeing in our day and age today, especially sadly with older women, is like butch haircuts. And have you noticed that? Anybody besides me notice that? I don't think that's what God wants. In fact, I know that's not what God wants. God wants women to have long hair, okay? And again, that's between you and the Lord. Obviously, if you're married, talk to your husband about it. But God wants women to have long hair. Verse 6, for if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman have power on her head because of the angels. Verse 11, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. Judge in yourselves. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her. Notice the end of verse 15. For her hair is given her for a covering. So when it's talking about covering, what's it talking about? Long hair. Okay? Verse 16. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the churches of God. So what I want you to notice in that is that one of the reasons it's important for the woman to submit to her husband is because it is a testimony to the angels. And we read through it. It's verse number 10. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Now you might ask, Pastor, what all does that mean? And I'll be honest with you. There are different ideas that float around among people who look into God's word and study it and meditate on it. I personally think that what that means is that we are being watched by the principalities and powers in this world. Other scriptures tend to give us that idea as well. And all that we do here, much of what we do here, not only that we're here so that we can win souls, that's a great reason to be here, but also God has us here as a testimony. That as we live the Christian life, we are exemplifying the glory and goodness of a great God, and even to the angels. So wives, when you are rebellious against your husband, you're breaking God's beautiful picture of how the church is submitted to Christ. But when you're submissive, you're beautifying that picture. You're bringing honor and glory to God. That's why it is important. And I want to encourage you to remember that at all times, that there are people watching. Let me go even a step beyond that. This is my opinion, so take it for what it's worth. But can I say another reason that it's important for you to be submitted to your husband is because your children are watching. Because your children are watching. And when they see mom submitted to dad, what they automatically know is there is a united front. Mom and dad are one, and they're the boss. Specifically, dad's leading, but mom is right on board, and they are one. Now, to give you an example, my wife and I know it's hard to believe, but she does not always agree with everything I do regarding the children. I don't agree with everything she always does with the children. But one thing we have tried not to do is ever discuss where the other one is wrong with the children in front of the children. If I think she's doing wrong, if she thinks I'm doing wrong, we generally will try to take it into a private bedroom apart with low, calm voices, say, I don't think you ought to do that. I think you ought to do it this way. And we'll talk it back and forth and come to a conclusion. And praise God, I have a submissive wife, and she will give me her opinion. But when push comes to shove, if I say this is the way it ought to be, she's going to submit. Friends, that helps the kids. Because when you have mom pitted against dad and dad pitted against mom, what that teaches the kids is authority isn't really important. And so when they get to be older, they're going to forget authority, and they're going to hate authority, and they're always going to have a problem with authority. And you and I know what happens when somebody has a problem with authority. Their life is a mess, because eventually that leads to where they're going to have a problem with God, who is the ultimate authority. And boy, good luck trying to work against God, right? So it's important that the wives be submitted to their husbands. Why is it that wives struggle with this? Look with me at Genesis chapter number 3. Don't worry, wives, we're going to hit the men next, all right? Genesis chapter 3. Why is it that wives struggled to submit to their own husbands? Genesis chapter number 3. Start with verse 15. This is after Adam and Eve sinned. God's putting a curse on them and on the earth because of their sin. And in verse 15, he is putting a curse on the serpent. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Notice how it says, and thy desire shall be to thy husband. Again, there's some disagreement between different people on exactly what that means, but I personally believe that what that means is you'll always have this desire down deep to want to be where he is, to want to take that leadership. There will be part of you that will always wish you were there and kind of buck up against that. And it's natural and it is normal. And ladies, if you struggle with it, you're not alone. It's part of nature, but God still wants you to submit. This much I know. Every time I've ever been under anybody else in authority, like under their authority, I've always thought they did at least something wrong. But I have to submit. That's part of leadership. Leadership, people are going to think that you do things wrong, and you probably are. But you need to submit, ladies. Okay? It's the way God has it. There's another reason why. Turn to 1 Peter chapter number 3. Let me give you another reason why you struggle to submit to your husband. Still need to do it, but here's why it's a struggle. 1 Peter chapter number 3. We'll go back there. Turning all over the Bible today. That's good. 1 Peter 3, verse 1. 1 Peter 3 and verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. What that verse or series of verses points out to us is one of the reasons, ladies, why you struggle to submit to your husband is because your husband is not always right. And sometimes you notice that. But in noticing that your husband is not right, you're not alone. That doesn't give you, by the way, an excuse to not submit because your husband's not right. Because God gave you an example in the form of Sarah, who had a husband who was a great husband. And yet, he did things wrong in a major way a couple of different times in her life. Do you remember what those major things were that he made mistakes in? Well, the main one was that he went to Egypt and told the king of Egypt there that, listen, this is not my wife, this is my sister. And he did that to save his own neck. And the Bible says that Sarah submitted herself. But in these verses, the Bible tells us or gives us a clue. How was it that she was able to do that? Well, it's found in verse number 5. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, and then what are the next four words? Who trusted in God. I want everyone to say those four words with me. Here we go. Ready? Who trusted in God. Ladies, how is it that Sarah was able to obey Abraham and submit herself even though he was dead wrong? Because she trusted in God. So, wives, does your husband ever make a mistake? And the answer is absolutely yes. Guaranteed. Every wife in here, your husband makes mistakes all the time. God does not want you to use that as an excuse to not submit. Here's what he wants you to do. Trust in me. Trust in me. But pastor, he's doing this really dumb thing. And I know, I can see down that path. And if we go down that path, it's going to be bad. All right. Then stop what you're doing. Pray. Seek God's face. Might even be wise to tell him about it. Not nag him, not pester him, not yell at him, not make him feel stupid, but tell him about it. Say, sweetheart, I don't think this is a good idea. I don't think this is what God wants to do, and here's why. And then leave it. Trust in God. God will take care of you. That's hard to do, but that's what faith is. Now, men, we're not off the hook either, are we? Because if our wives are to submit to us because we are their authority, that means that we also have to submit to our authorities. But pastor, they're wrong. They're dead wrong. Okay, so do you want your wife to submit to you? Do you want your kids to submit to you and to submit to your wife? Then you have to submit to your authority, whatever authority that might be. Submit. Well, pastor, how can I do that? Trust in God. Speak up, tell the authority where they're wrong in a gracious, in a kind way, in a respectful way, and then leave it in the Lord's hand and trust in the Lord. If it's not against God's word, then follow that authority and let God deal with them. That's how wives are supposed to do it. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5, and let's look at the next part. We only have a few minutes that we're going to take here. We want to move on from the ladies to the men. Remember that we're talking about how all of us are to submit to one another. That will be a part of our lives when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Specifically, the wives will submit to their own husbands. But now we're still in that context of submitting one to another, still in that context of being filled with the Holy Spirit. What does it look like for the husband? All right, husband, here we go. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, this is what it's going to look like. Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So husbands, your job is to love your wife. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that's what it will look like. Don't tell me you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't try to convince anybody else that you're filled with the Holy Spirit if you are not actively loving your wife as Christ loved the church. If you are treating her bad, if you're talking down to her, if you're yelling at her, if you're abusing her in any way or whatever other bad thing that might go on, then don't try to convince me or someone else that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, because you're not. Because if you are, here's what you will do. You will submit one to another, and the way that that looks for you as a husband is you will love your wife as Christ also loved the church. And that standard, by the way, is high. But you can do it with the filling of the Holy Spirit. The way that that love looks is as Christ loved the church. How did he love the church? Well, the Bible tells us that he gave himself for it. That's what these verses say. In fact, let me point out to you that Jesus Christ came and had dealings with the church for one purpose, and that was to love the church by giving himself for her. Think about that for a minute. Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, has no dealings with the church, but comes down to earth. God became flesh, right? Jesus Christ had dealings with the church for one purpose only, and that was to give his life for her. Let me show you that in Mark chapter number 10, and I'll talk to you about why that's so important. Mark chapter number 10. Mark 10, verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized, with all shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know that they which are accounted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. We're going to look at the next verses, but can I put my own words in there? Forgive me for doing this. Whosoever will be the head of the home among you shall be your minister. Verse 44, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. Verse 45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Why did Jesus come? To give his life a ransom for many. To minister to the church. So here's what that brings me to. This is convicting. If I back up, my wife and I have been married 22 years. And if I back up, so a few years before that we met. And, I saw her. She saw me. I don't know what she was thinking, but I was thinking, wow. And I said, I want to be with that girl. And we just happened to be in the same friend group. I've told you this story enough times. And we hit it off real well. I asked her out, and the rest is history. And we've been married now 22 years. Here's what convicts me about this point right here. If I would back up 22, 24 years, I cannot say that as I looked at Rebecca, that I said, I want to be with that girl because I want to give myself for her. I want to be with that girl, and I want to spend the rest of my life with her because I want to give myself for her, sacrificing my wants for her needs. I want to be with her so that I can make her into the best Christian she could possibly be by me ministering to her. That's what I want. And yet, when Jesus looked at the church, that's why he came. He did not look at the church and say, I want to be with the church because the church will serve me and bring glory to me and give me and all of that. He looked at the church and said, I want to be with the church so I can give my blood for her, sacrifice the very life that I have for her. And God calls me to love my wife that way. Young men, you want to get married? I would imagine you do. There's nothing wrong with that. That's good. And I realize you're a human being. You're going to be just like I was, and you're going to see a pretty girl. And God built you that way to where you're going to want to be with a pretty girl because you just are built that way. But I want you to have in the back of your mind and remember, that's all fine and good, and it has its place, and God designed you that way for a reason, and He makes marriage beautiful in that way for a reason. But that's not the primary purpose why you're to get married. God wants you to marry that young lady, if she is God's will for your life, because He wants you to be in her life always, every day, day after day, sacrificing yourself, giving yourself, not doing what pleases you, not looking at her as an object that God made so that you can have pleasure, but rather that you look at her as an object that God gave to you so that you could continually, day after day, sacrifice yourself for her. That's what it means when it says, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. That is a convicting thought. With that said, we'll stop there for tonight.